Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share real life experiences and the tools they develop to move forward and live their best lives. I'm Jenny Taylor.
And I'm Michelle Scharf. Third in a series of episodes with my friend Jen Zwink. I had the opportunity to be on your podcast. I really loved it. It was hard to be behind the microphone. It was very vulnerable, but it was a good process. Yeah. We will share that link on our social media pages so other people can hear my full story, really. I mean, you cracked me open like a nut, and it was all out there. Of course, it doesn't probably help that I've been writing my book, and so it's all just really at the surface for me right now. But we have learned about your story. You really had a true crime loss, a husband that was murdered for nothing but pocket change and a phone, evidently. A senseless crime. Somebody who was talented and beautiful and a good husband and cared about his family. And then to really have that taken. And I mean, it's just really just a tragic story. But in the light of all of these things, and you can go back and listen to episodes 1 and 2 to hear all of the details of that. In light of these hard things, you and your husband, or original husband, Brent, the first husband who passed away, you were both optometrists and you had been in practice for about 9 years. And then when this happened, you were just like, I can't function. I totally get it. Like you no longer have capacity of your brain. I was a lobbyist. I was having to testify in committee meetings and I'm like, simple words, I could not retrieve them out of my brain. Unless you go through this, you just have no idea. Grief plays horrendous tricks on your brain, and it's really hard to function in the way that you did before. It's just really difficult. So you've gone on to remarry, and you're married to Doug, but tell us about your career path, and when did you start really your passion project? Jenny and I have our passion project, this podcast. Jenny has multiple other ones as well for her husband and his foundation. Tell us about your path. Where do you go back to work? Is it just this podcast that you're doing? What
How
has
did
been
you
the
get
future?
Started on that? Yeah.
What's been the path for you?
Well, I did end up going back to optometry, just part time though, because I was still focusing on Claire. So yeah, I continue to do that to this day.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I love it and I love seeing patients, but what I found to be so helpful when I first became a widow was connecting with other widows, of course. Like, I did not see how I was ever going to recover from what I had been through. Yeah. And I didn't see any way that I could ever be happy again. You know, how could I possibly think about having a normal life, whatever that is, quote, normal?
Yeah.
So, you know, what does life look like after this? And a really good friend of mine, she put me in touch with a local widows group. And I ended up meeting this group of ladies. They got together once a month. And these ladies became my angels. They were my go-tos. You know, like, I formed so many friendships through this. And they were all younger widows with young kids. So we had a lot in common. And I just wanted to see, you know, what does this path look like? Here she is over here. She's 2 years out. She's 3 years out. She's smiling. She's happy. Like, what is she doing to be that happy? You know, like, how is she looking so normal right now? Because I'm a mess and crying and everything. So those were the stories that really helped me, that really got me through some very difficult times, some very low times, was this awesome group that I had, this local widows group. So fast forward several years later, we get together, like I said, like once a month. And I'm pretty late into the podcasting world, but I discovered podcasts in like 2017. I think it was maybe 2018. I started listening and I said, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I can go to anything and listen to anything and learn. And it was just, it opened up this whole new world for me with podcasting. And I approached a couple of my widow friends and I said, hey, I think we should start a podcast. And they were like, yes, that sounds amazing. Oh my gosh, so fun. Da, da, da. And then like nothing ever happened. And then like I don't know, a month would go by, 2 months, 3 months. Everybody has lives, you know, everybody's busy. Everybody has kids. And then I would say, let's do the podcast. Let's do it. And then they would be all excited and then nothing would happen again. And this was still just on my heart. I could not let this go. It was like calling me like, you have got to do this. Just like starting the podcast. And I had no direction for it. All I wanted to do was put those stories out there. And some of my listeners have called them now widow success stories. What is your widow success story? How did you get by? What did you turn to? How did things go for you? What have you learned along the way? Just put those examples in front of people that can show them what is possible for them. That was my intent. And I started with my widow group of girls. And I actually bought all of the equipment that I needed in 2019. But then I chickened out and I didn't actually do any episodes until like beginning of 2020. I started recording episodes with my friends. And then I didn't actually post anything until summer of 2020. Like, this was a slow go for me just because I was doing everything myself and having to learn all of the tech and the technical part of all right. of putting this together.
The recording, the editing, the yeah. uploading, the publishing, what platform are you yeah. going to use? Like, there's a lot.
Exactly. I had to research a lot.
Yeah, I had done yeah. a lot of research before. I had finally started talking to people out loud about it, and I was just lucky that I literally ran into someone, and he said, what are you going to do now that John's gone? And I said, well, actually, I have this idea for a podcast, and he's the one that set up the meeting here at our KSL studio. Yeah. And then it just happened. It actually just happened.
Fell into place.
So I was lucky, but I understand, because I had been looking at all of those same things too. And I'm like, it just feels like a lot for me to take on. There's so many pieces of this, and just the scheduling and getting people lined up for me is overwhelming. And a lot of these people are actual people I know that have shared stories with me, but now we're branching out and it's people like you. We're getting asked and approached by other podcasts where our listeners yeah. are recommending people, and it's just growing in ways that I had not anticipated. And it's really exciting to see. Like,
it's so exciting, and it's opened up so many doors that you just never thought that you would be like on this path of, you know, I'm just trying to put these stories out to help people. And mm-hmm. getting those initial comments and emails from people like around the world just saying, you know, thank you so much. This has been really helpful. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I'm doing this for. This is why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So I started doing it summer of 2020. And I kept getting these messages from these women that were saying that I'm so alone. I don't have anyone to talk to. I don't have people in my life that understand. I don't have any groups around me. There's no in-person things happening because it was 2020. And so that first Christmas, I said, okay, I'm going to put out a little Christmas holiday group, just a widow's holiday group. And I had a small group of ladies sign up, and everybody's from around everywhere, the United States, you know. I had a lady from Florida, one from Boston, one from California.
So you just did this on Zoom?
I did, yeah. Yeah. And I just said, okay, let's just meet.
This.
And we're going to get through the holiday season, because a lot of people still weren't meeting in person, but get yeah. through the holidays. I just did it for like a 6-week little program. And I am still very close with those ladies still.
So what did you do for those 6 weeks? Did you like meet once a week? Or
we did Zoom calls, and I had guest speakers come in. We did a lot of like breath work and meditation and just talking about getting through the holidays, right? Like, what am I supposed to do on Christmas Day? Or how do I incorporate still doing things with my husband sort of involved, you know, like honoring him in what kind of way? And we just kind of opened up the conversation like that. It was so good. And I decided I would really like to start an online community, like an ongoing community like this. And it took quite a while to kind of get that going. But we ended up doing the Widow Squad online community that has become just a continuing connection of these widows to come together once a week we get together. We have different topics that we introduce depending on the time of year. If there's anything, like we have, you know, Valentine's Day meeting just this last week. We talked about relationships. We talk about dating. We talk about all of these widow things because, again, it's like you have friends, but if they haven't been through this experience, then it's hard to talk to them about what you're going through. And so it's specifically just being with widows who understand, who get it. And it's not just that. It's like finances, too. I mean, think of all right. the finance yeah. things that we have to go through. You the were just talking about unlocking the phone, you know, like there's situations that come up. And a lot of times we just don't have anybody else that can relate to that. So.
Or somebody might have a resource that we just right. weren't aware of, or you've gone through it. You've gone through it, so there's some things that you might be able to know that somebody else is just starting to go through. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're back. Yeah, all of the process of being a widow and the first of everything and all of the challenges that we face when we early on become a widow. I love that you created a support group and what a great time for it, right? COVID. We started our podcast just a few months before you, actually, in 2019. I think it was November-ish.
It
was the very end of 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was kind of on the cutting edge sort of like this whole concept that what we're all really craving in the world. It became so clear to me after I lost my husband that a lot of what's going on in society, be it political, relationship oriented, whatever, it's all being driven by the fact that what we're really missing is true connection.
Yeah.
And we mm-hmm. think that we have real connection online. What has actually happened is it's not true connection. It's very phony. And people have started to, they're not getting their needs met. And then it kind of downgrades from there, right? My needs aren't met. Now I'm operating off my trauma and I'm going to traumatize or hurt you as well. And so we have actually a disconnect out of the connection of social media. We're all much closer. Mm-hmm. We're all more connected, but it's not connection in a healthy way that is really the connection that we're all looking for, which is true connection. Do you see my heart? Do you understand me? Do you see who I am? Right.
So I'm curious, do you run the Widow Squad by yourself? Do you have like a team or a staff? It's one thing to facilitate a group with four or five or six of you, but if I'd imagine after a few years, you've got a good number of people. Are you the one scheduling the podcast guests and the guest speakers and everything? Is this like a one-woman show, or how do you run the business side of this?
Well, it has been. I did the community on my own for a while, and it is a lot involved in that. Mm-hmm. It is a lot. So I ended up partnering with Kim Murray and Melissa Pierce. They are my partners. And I met them through, actually, I interviewed both of them very early on in the podcast. And then we started meeting because Kim has her Widow 411, widow411.com. So she has a lot of resources posted on there. She's a blogger. And we just started talking about how we all had the same vision for this widow community. And we all had these different resources that we could compile and put together and offer to people. And so we started just recently, actually, in October of last year, in October of 2022, we combined resources. And now the three of us run that together. So we have a lot to offer. And it's been so great. It's been a really great experience working with them. I mean, we each have our own individual strengths, and we bring to the table what we do, and it's been a lot of fun. There's a lot that goes into it, you know. I mean, again, it's the tech stuff, it's the emails, the content that we put out, all the resources that we gather, the stories, the podcast guests, the guest speakers that come into our group, and we're doing a live event. Actually, this May is our first in-person retreat. We're going to do a weekend retreat. And I'm super excited about that because this will be our first in-person thing that we're doing.
Okay, do you tell have the us. Details on that, like the cost, where it's located?
How do you join the Widow Squad?
Yeah. So the Widow Squad, you can get all of the information that we have on that is at widowsquad.com. So really easy. And I talk about it all the time on Widow 180, the podcast. So you can get information on that at widow180.com because I have all the Widow Squad information on there too. And yeah, so Melissa lives in Oregon. She's right outside of Portland. And then Kim lives in Michigan. She's right outside of Ann Arbor.
Oh, wow.
And so we're kind of all spread across the country. And we just said, you know, how about in 2023, we decide to start doing these retreats and we'll just pick a place near each of our homes so we can have nice weather whenever we want, whatever part of the country for whatever part of the year. And so I ended up finding this place. It's a retreat center. It's in Louisiana. It's about an hour and 20 minutes north of New Orleans. And what's great about this retreat center is that it offers everything, which is really nice because some of these retreat places that you go to, you rent a big house and then you have to get the caterer to come in and then you have to have this person come in. But this retreat center that we found, it offers everything for us. So I think it's a good first step for us to get into the retreat side of this and the in-person events. It's a beautiful place. It's on a beautiful lake. There's hiking trails and it just offers a good opportunity for everyone to be in the same place and have all of these resources offered.
How many people can you accommodate? And do you still have room if someone's listening and wants to join, or is it already full?
It's not full yet. Actually, I just signed the contract a week ago. So we haven't even really started promoting it.
So this is hot off the presses.
We have room for 20 people and we are just now getting our website updated so that we can have people sign up. So if you just keep going to widowsquad.com and if you go to widow180.com, we'll have all of the retreat information on there where you could sign up. Or you can email me at jen@widow180.com and I can give you all of the information.
And is that J-E-N, so, one N?
J-E-N, yep. J-E-N@widow180. Yep.
Okay, that sounds exciting. I know of a great retreat center here in northern Utah. If you ever want to come team up with Michelle.
Ooh, yes.
And she
so I am doing coaching and I want to specialize in not only like life transitions, whether that's death, whatever. So that includes grief. And I've often thought, man, it would be so fun to go do like a Moab retreat or a there's so many beautiful areas.
Utah has
of
some great
Utah.
Landscape. Yeah.
But yeah, well, we'll have to connect on that.
This one's in Morgan.
Sweet.
Moab is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice. I love it.
There's plenty of widows in Utah. So if you ever want to.
Yeah.
We're everywhere. All right. We're going to take one more break and come back and have you kind of just recap and remind us what resilience looks like in your own journey and what you've learned about resilience through your Widow 180 group. We'll be right back.
Great.
Okay, Jen, it's been amazing. We feel like we've been with you for days. I feel like now we're best friends, and we can't wait for you to host one of your whatever retreats here in the great state of Utah. And Michelle and her coaching.
I can't wait to go see Louisiana. I've never been to New Orleans. I'm going to make it a long weekend.
Never been to Louisiana. Okay,
yeah.
Here she comes in May.
Yeah.
So, well, we always want to kind of draw this back to, you've taught us so much about resilience now in 3 episodes, taking us through really like 20 years of your life, 15, 20 years of your life. Let's talk about tools. What tools have you either discovered or developed, either through your own grief journey or what you're learning now with this squad and this online community that you've created and continue to foster?
I think that the biggest and most important tool that you can have is just this belief in yourself. I feel like everything starts with that. If you have a belief that you are going to make it through something, you can make it through anything. It comes back to that. And I know, so again, with resilience, a lot of times it goes hand in hand with confidence. And, you know, when you lose your spouse, you lose your confidence in yourself and your self-esteem plummets. And we have lost our biggest cheerleader. We lost the person that always put us on a pedestal, who always told us how great we were and how amazing we were all the time. Like, this person lifted us up. And they were the ones that boosted our confidence and made us feel secure. And so without them, we just feel so vulnerable. Yeah. I have never felt so vulnerable in my entire life and so incapable of just making it through life. Like, it really changes you. It really does. I felt so uncertain about everything, so consumed with self-doubt. And I had to build on that. Like, Michelle, like you said earlier, it's like you take these baby steps, right? Mm-hmm. You have to. You can't. It's not going to happen overnight. It is not. And we want it to happen so quickly. And we want it to just be over with and done with and get through with it, right? Like, we want the end. Yeah. We want the end
check
of the grief so that we can just go and just be ourselves, whatever that is.
I think that was one of the things I learned in the process that first year. My therapist kept saying to me, Michelle, I feel like you're trying to wrap
this
up and you want to put it in a box and you want to wrap it with yep. beautiful paper and a gorgeous bow and you want to lift it up and put it on a shelf and say,
all done.
That is what I did.
Yeah.
That's what I accomplished. And she's like, this is not something that you're going to be done with. This
doesn't
is something
that, way.
That will be with you for the rest of your life. Mm. You've got to learn
especially,
to walk with it.
Yeah.
And that was
especially if you
a
are
huge
a,
awareness.
A fix-it person.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I'm type
you're
A.
Like, I just want to fix it. I just want it to be done. I want to fix it. What do I need to do? What are the steps? Let me just do all that and check yeah. it off and be done, you know? And so, it doesn't work that way. It does not. It's a slower process than we want it to be. But you just have to believe in yourself that you will get through it. You have yeah. to believe that there is an end, that it is temporary, it's not going to be an end, but that initial real pain is not going to be there
forever,
for as long as you think it is.
But it
right.
feels like forever when we're in it right?
It feels like it. I know.
Well, and it might still come
tell
back.
People that.
And
it
does
I think
come
that's,
back.
That's one thing. Yeah. So Michelle and I are both at about the same point. We're just coming up on 5 years. And I will say I do not mm-hmm. feel the same overwhelming despair mm-hmm. that I felt in
yeah.
you know, day one, month one, year one. But there are still moments that feel just as awful or maybe twice as awful
yeah.
as the first moments.
Yeah.
And that's what's been a realization for me. Jen, like you said, it doesn't necessarily end, but it does end. And you will get through it and you can be happy and beautiful.
I would say it
beautiful.
Migrates, right?
Yeah,
it migrates into
but,
something
but like
else
you,
where
you carry
start
it with you.
Right.
Sure.
It's like, this is a part of my story.
Yes.
It's a part of who I am.
It's a part
it's
of my being.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily the identity of
right.
who I am myself, right?
Which I think at first
and
it is.
Right.
It,
and at first
at
it
first
is.
At first it defines you. I am the survivor of this awful thing.
Right.
And that's who
or
and all I am.
I am John's
widow.
Late,
yeah.
you know, I have a dead husband. I have
yeah.
a late husband, which I still refuse to use that terminology,
late
actually.
Husband.
But and people, I confuse people all the time because I refuse to use that language because I'm like, he will always be my husband. He's
right.
late for nothing. He
yeah.
didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
It's
still be here. If
it's
he
a
could.
Strange thing. But we do.
Point.
It does migrate, right? It
yeah.
does shift from this is who I am, and it feels like an identity that's been thrust upon
yeah.
you, especially like you, because it was so public and it was. Mm-hmm. a hero of our country, you know? So it feels like it's defining who you are, but really as we go apart this journey, we are discovering actually who we are, separate of
our
husband.
I would say, I think that's one thing that's beautiful, and Jen, you've touched on it. I feel like we kind of all identify that you discover who you are, you
mm-hmm.
discover what you're capable of, and there's a certain
mm-hmm.
there's a certain exhilaration. I feel like I'm entering this year, 2023, with a different mindset. Just different clarity and where I can now look at different circumstances of my life, not just Brent's death, but other circumstances of my life. And instead of feeling exclusively weighed down by them, I'm almost excited by the fact that, hey, that's part of my resume. Like
mm-hmm.
I've you know, forget what job you've had or how many degrees you have. I've survived this and I've learned how to cope with that. And I completely fell apart through this, but I'm still here. And now that laundry list of baggage we all carry, I think I'm learning to look at that as, wow, oh, okay, well, I've done that before and I've made it through that and I overcame the other. I can do this. And again, it's just what you said. The first thing is you have to believe it's possible. Because if you don't believe you'll ever be happy again, or if you don't believe you'll ever get through this, or if you don't believe you'll ever breathe again, I mean, all of the things, then you've just damned yourself into that rut. And I'm not saying I don't get in that rut. I'm the first to admit sometimes I jump in the rut and I'm going to stay there for a minute because for a while I feel like I need to be there. But I think one of the best analogies I've heard, a previous guest from our first year on the podcast, our friend Cindy Cloninger, another widow, and she said it's like swimming. And the waves of grief, we use the terminology waves of grief. And at first, every wave of grief drowns you. Because when you're first learning to doggy paddle, every wave is too big. Every wave. As time goes by, it's not that time automatically heals everything. I hate that phrase, time heals
all. No, but you get stronger.
You learn,
your muscles
you
develop.
You get stronger. You learn you to anticipate the wave.
And you get better.
And you learn more strokes.
Yeah, right. You get better at the navigating
and
part.
Sometimes you do just doggy paddle, but you have a few more, you have a few more resources. And Jen, another thing I love about all of these conversations we've had with you is how interwoven other people have been in your healing. Even when you left your home and went to the island with your daughter to be alone and have that healing time, you still had that moral support of the family members and others, the friend that loved you and helped you figure out the finances of making it work. They gave you physical space, but they never severed you. And now you're working with not only your own widow tribe, but you found two other ladies with their widow tribes and you're growing connectivity. And to me, that's what resilience is. I love it. Figure out the fact you can do this. First thing first, resilience is believing I am capable of being resilient. And then maybe the second is, and so I'm going to surround myself with people who are going to help me be resilient and people who believe I can be.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of people out there that don't want us to succeed. We all have them in our lives that just want to pick at it and pick at it and pick at the scab. Don't surround yourself with those people. Find the people who believe in you and help you.
There are some widows that really want to stay being a victim of their loss, right?
And outside of widowhood, too, any kind of trauma or tragedy.
Right, any type. And they just, they're like, I'm never going to be okay. I don't know what to do.
Right.
I'm fearful.
They're comfortable with the lifesaver floaty rather than learning to swim.
Yeah. And you know, we see them all the time. Yeah. And look, we're all in our own process. I'm not judging it, but like for me, I really quickly said I cannot listen to that.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, that is a scary place for me to go, and we are not going to go there. I'm not going down that path with this person. So
and to have your own boundaries. That's okay.
Yeah,
and the way somebody else copes with their trauma, that's great. But find the people, find the methods, find the tools and tips that work for you.
Yeah.
And that's okay if that's what works for you. And it doesn't have to work for the other people. You know, I think we do so much comparing she's done this or he did that or just that. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
What works for you? Find your journey.
And we're all in our process, right? Some of those people. And look, I have been there in moments.
Yeah, I say, and
it's
sometimes I still am that person.
Yeah. And I don't stay there very long, but there are moments where I drop to my knees and I'm like,
I quit.
Woe's me. This is really hard. I didn't ask for this. This was not the plan. You know, and I'm throwing my foot and literally on my bedroom floor, screaming, kicking, and wailing at God that, like, why aren't I the one that's in control? Because my plan was way better than this.
I had a great plan.
It was way better than this one, right? So I think that's another thing, too. That's one of the great gifts, I would say, of being a widow is really you. I laugh about it all the time because I think I've learned it. And then God will show me, you are a funny child. You are a funny child. But that we are not in control. We are not in control.
Right.
Life is what is happening to us while we're making better plans, and likely our best plans are not going to develop in quite the way that we envision. And sometimes it's worse and sometimes it's way better. So it's okay.
And I think one thing I'm learning is as I can surrender is just the best word in my mind right now. I can surrender and then embrace what the plan is at the moment. And maybe it's not the plan I like. Maybe it's a plan I hate. I'm stuck with this plan, so we're going to figure it out. I tell my kids that all the time. I've got seven kids, and they've got one mom. And I think they would probably have just their dad if they had to have a single parent. But that's not their option. And sometimes they'll say things where I can tell they're kind of mad at life circumstances. And I'll just say, hey, it is what it is. Like, we've got to make this work. Mm-hmm. We can complain about it all day, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, there's seven of you and one of me. And I prefer to be happy. I love, Jen, when you said you saw the other widows 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. And what you noticed was that they were happy. Mm-hmm. Not just that they barely survived or barely made it through or sat around and cried all day. I'm sure they had days they sat around and cried. That's great.
Right.
But they found and created happiness in their lives. And I think that's what resilience really, the fruit of resilience.
Right.
Is the ability to be happy in horrible, awful circumstances. The ability to change your perspective when you're sick of things going wrong. And the ability to step back and say, I'm not in control. And maybe that's all right. Here we go. Mm-hmm. One day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exactly. Oh, I'm excited for your live retreats. This is great. And I'm excited for the Widow Squad.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to meet in person, you know, some of these ladies that I've been talking to for
a long time.
A couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, it's going to be so great.
I'd love to know, what have you learned from them specifically? What have you learned from your Widow Squad? It sounds like you've got a lot to teach them and offer and resources to connect, but maybe what are some of those lessons they've taught you?
It's still just that, yes, we are all kind of looking for the same thing, right? We all want to be validated. We all want to know that we are not alone. And going through this experience, feeling like we're doing it by ourselves.
I love that.
Okay, we are so glad that we make. Yeah,
we are so glad that we've connected. Now you can add Utah to that list of around the country Widow Squad. we'd love to have you come host an event out here. There's so many of us that could benefit from being together and just your positive attitude and your determination to not just sit back and wither, but to grow and to blossom and to thrive. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for sharing
your personal story, the ongoing story, the story of your podcast, and now this new community online journey. And we are really grateful to our listeners. You guys, everybody, go find Jen's Wink, go find Widow 180, go find these different groups that are out there. And let's take advantage of all the resources. There's no need for each of us to keep reinventing the wheel. And I also appreciate the widow411.com. I'm going to go look at that, because there's the emotional side of widowhood. There's also a lot of pragmatics and practical. So
it
sounds like that's going to be a great resource for all of us to take a look at.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a great conversation, and I love what you guys are doing. It's so helpful. It's changing lives, really.
Well, thank you so much. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to Free for our podcast. We're available on anywhere you get your podcast. Give us a rating and a review. That really helps us climb up in the search engines on those sites. If you know someone who has a real story that they'd like to share about their lived experience, we'd love to have them on. If you yourself have a story you'd like to share, even better. Send us an email at rrpodcast@ksl.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Relentlessly Resilient or on Instagram at Relentlessly Resilient Podcast.
And whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are facing in their lives. Take care, everybody.